So Danny say funny things. Because I'm not funny. I'm sorry. Oh, really? Okay, so I don't have to tell you then anything. That was great. Awesome. Good.
Well, I'll start.
Okay. Good to see you as well. Yes, thank you.
Congratulations on the film. I absolutely loved it. As soon as it was over, I wanted to watch it again immediately.
Awesome.
How do you talk about this character without ruining it for people?
I know. I'm still trying to figure that out. Maybe you can help me. It's a complex and smart and awesome film. You know, it's got all the, I think it's enjoyable for all types of people. You know, if you want a great sort of action, fun, heist, thriller kind of experience, then you can get that on the basest of levels, you know? But if you want to take it to another, if you appreciate art, and you'll see the imagery that Danny and, you know, the whole crew really worked on to kind of put in there. You know, there's different allusions to different famous photographs and things that he always kept in his mind. And, you know, I like those Easter eggs that are all kind of through it. So if you do watch it again and know the ending, and you watch it multiple times, you'll still see there's a richness to it that will give you more and more layers and depth to kind of go through. And that's just was amazing. You know, so as a character, in this, who is incredibly dynamic and strong and holds her own with these men and who are incredibly dangerous and very risky situations. And she does it without kind of going to the obvious sort of cliche femme fatale of using her sexuality and her wiles in order to kind of ingratiate herself, but actually uses her wit and her cleverness and her tenacity and her audacity to kind of put herself into, you know, step forward into these situations, just made it something incredibly compelling to be a part of. And I hope people go and watch it, because I think people are struck by that, because the movie changes quite a lot. And it's not so much that it's work to watch, but that it complements, I think, the audience member to go, you can follow this. Now go ahead and try to guess what's going to happen next. No. And that's really exciting, because you don't see that very often. I feel like I'm always cued in a movie with a song or something to tell me how I'm supposed to feel or think. And this one doesn't do that. You know, you can sit there and just enjoy it and watch it, but it's almost impossible to do that and not go, wait, I think I know where, wait, what is this detail? What is this clue? And it's a puzzle that the characters themselves are trying to put together. And I hope it's one that people will enjoy wanting to put together in the audience.
It seems you're the protagonist, you know, and I'm wondering what...
Kind of.
Well, you know what I mean? You're the ones behind the eight ball, more so than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the ones that got to figure a way out, even though it's not told to you.
Yeah.
At what point did you sort of identify with that and say, oh, I'm not just, you know, I'm reading the script, I'm saying, you know,
I think, I mean, you can see it in the script to a certain degree, you know, that this is a film with the woman at the center of it. But it's definitely a boys' film at the same time. So I think that's what's actually kind of great with it, is that there are a lot of misleads all throughout it. And even for myself, like the expectation that I had about how challenging it would be to shoot it and kind of keep all the balls in the air, which wasn't really the case. You know, it was actually... Instead, it ended up being more nerve-wracking of going, wow, she's so forthright. She's so dynamic and in everyone's face. Like, is it giving too much away, actually? And all of the situations with everyone in it. You know, everyone's really, you know, they're keeping their cards close to their vest, to their chest, but they're really stepping forward into every situation. You know, there's no hesitancy. There's no, there's really almost no time to think, it seems. And I don't know. I really liked that. I discovered her courage throughout shooting it, because I was aware about how, I mean, it seemed almost, it was alarming and, kind of arrogant, I thought, for her to go into these situations thinking that she could handle it. But actually I really saw it was just true courage, and bravery of going, I have odds that I need to beat, and I'm going to rely on no one else but myself to do so. And that's potentially really stupid because it's very risky. But she's a really smart woman and she was willing to take on that risk. And that's where I kind of, I think, discovered it more, was actually in shooting it and going, wow, I'm in a situation where my gut instinct reaction would be to step back and go, whoa, 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 wait, let me wait a second. And in every scene, I'm finding myself going and stepping forward into it. And that was really not something I could really, you know, as much as I worked on and read it, it's a whole other thing when you're actually sitting in the scene and doing this conversation and you're in a den of wolves. You know, she's just surrounded by these men, these gangsters who are very violent, talking about violence, and no one knows she's there. And it's just those types of moments where you start to recognize a level of her depth that maybe I couldn't totally appreciate when I was trying to just learn all her lines and trying to be as cool and calm and sophisticated as she was and really see underneath she must be panicking and how incredible that is. Her composure was amazing to me.
He said he had a wish list of three actresses, like a bucket list that he wanted to work with, that you, I think, were in the number one slot.
No way!
Yeah, way.
I love doing interview roundtables because he would never say that to me.
I dig it. Good looking out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Looking at the roles you've played, you seem up for anything. Is it about the challenge or just how do you make decisions about the roles that you're going to take?
You know, it can feel a bit arbitrary in the sense because it depends on what is actually being developed, you know, so it's as I can put out a wish list of the things that I'd like to be doing, but if no one's writing those scripts or green lighting those films, that can be very difficult. So it's about seeing what the lay of the land is and, you know, I'm constantly changing all the time and I don't feel like I'm in the same space of being experimental anymore. So I'm liking kind of getting more deeper into certain things and certain genres and spaces. But I don't know. It's like, you know, I'm not making the choice as much anymore of going, I'd like to shoot over there or, you know, work with that person or just, you know, be working during those months. It's definitely a lot more specific. And I've had a really great time of it working with incredible directors and actors on really beautiful material. But it's about saying, okay, have I really shown that aspect to myself? You know, there's a film I just shot. I play a crack mom to Vanessa Hudgens. And it was a really dark place to go to. And I'm really glad that I went there. It was an interesting challenge. I thought it was just going to be a cameo and then the part grew, which was great. But when I was done shooting it, I realized I had been frowning for over 24 hours. Like I just was, I was like, it just made this grimace, you know? And I really did not agree with who she was or her logic or her anything. I was in total fight mode against this woman that I was portraying and trying to do it from her space of being honest and that this is truly what she believed. And it was really hard. And so right now I can tell you, I probably won't be doing another film in that kind of arena or world for a little while because it really was so intense. And I need those wounds to heal a little bit before I could go there again. So that sometimes stuff like that will happen where, you know, I'll just go, I need to do something lighter or I need to do something else. I want to produce more now. I need to step back a little bit and it not be about, you know, what I'm physically doing all the time. Like, how can I use some of the other capacities and things that I've learned over being in this industry for so long and the people that I've met and the resources that I've built that I can go, I can make stories happen that no one's writing that I would really like to see. And it's not because I would need to be in them, but just because I'm a storyteller and I want them to exist for people. And it's driving me crazy that no one's getting around to it. So it's been a couple of years now. So maybe I should just do it myself.
What's the name of that movie?
Give Me Shelter.
Oh, okay.
What stories would you like to see?
Well, I mean, there's very specific ones that I'm in sort of process of developing that there aren't, and it's a little too early to talk about clearly, but they definitely have, and a lot of them have historical aspects to them, and they have quite often women at the center of the story, because I just don't feel like I'm seeing enough of them, and it's just a little boring, you know, kind of like I love watching movies and I love all types of movies. I grew up watching Conan. I grew up watching, you know, so it's not to say like the full spectrum that women or girls aren't interested in. But it's shocking to me that there's so little of them for us to kind of go around. There's some really talented actresses in Hollywood that I'd love to see stretch. So it's about looking at stuff like that and going, okay, how can I develop something that I would want to watch? That I'm not able to see now.
This was, I think, your most kind of complex character since Descent. And Descent was obviously something that you made yourself, that you had to tell, and it was amazing story, amazing character. Were you surprised when you read this script and saw someone just as complex and dealing with even similar issues, the line between sex and violence. And mm-hmm. it's a really unique role, I think, for
yeah.
actresses today.
Very much so. I mean, what I was just surprised at is, you know, I mean, this is one of the first times for Danny really doing a film with a woman at the center of it in this way. And I was just really excited about the idea that this was something that had been in the works for a long time. And this was a passion project that was really well thought out. You know, when it's a film like this where logic is, you know, you need to be able to follow the logic very clearly, it's great when it's not something new for people. It's, you know, that the people, that the maestros at the hand are people who've been thinking about it thoroughly for a very long time and really trying to make it work. And it's exciting watching the movie now and going, if this is what you've had in your head all these years, I can imagine why you've been pushing to make this film happen. And that's really inspiring. So, yeah, I mean, Descent was very helpful kind of going into this film. I'm glad I did a film like that that pushed me, and I did it sort of without a pressure of it being some big studio film. You know, it was something that was smaller and it was a passion project. I was really lucky to have done something like 25th Hour, which was also a woman who you had to see as being possibly a suspect. Or the, you know, or at the end when you watch it and go, if I watch this movie again, would I believe she was absolutely in love with him the whole time now that I know that information? Like, I think that that was a really good lesson in sort of that type of portrayal. And it really helped me in this, you know, of going, okay, I'm not going to play someone who's being, you know, manipulative in the corner and like rubbing her mustache going, you know, like it doesn't look like that actually. It's going to be a lot more of someone, even if she is bold-faced lying, saying it with the straightest face possible, because this is not the group of people that you show any weakness with, you know? And so it was really interesting to kind of go, okay, I'm playing multiple characters in each scene, what, you know, who she is, who she's trying to portray herself to be, who they think she is, and where the audience is. And that was a really great challenge. And I could recognize a lot of those elements and work really hard on them because I'd had such great experiences before with really talented people who made me up my game over the years to prepare me for something like this.
You know, you were talking about trying to get more sort of women's stories on the screen, and it occurs to me that so many people in development people are women, and I'm wondering why aren't we seeing from mainstream studios more of these stories? I mean, it seems like a lot of decision makers.
I don't know that they're always the decision makers per se, but, you know, I mean, because financing and all of that stuff comes really strongly into it, and what people are willing to put money behind is very telling. And I think status quo is a very difficult thing to shift. And, you know, we're seeing for the first time a woman getting an Oscar for directing. You know what I mean? Like, that is very recent history. And I think that's why it's not something to complain about. You know, it's a reality, and it's what's been going on for a long time. And we've had all total ups and downs where race wasn't an issue and Grace Jones was in major, huge movies, you know, or like, you know, where it was all about women in shoulder pads and, you know, in the femme fatale films, like those were all women. And those were some strong, incredible characters. So it's not to say that Hollywood hasn't gone and done that. We're not just seeing them very much lately. And they're starting to come out. And that's why you're able to see someone like Jessica Chastain just be able to just, you know, just dazzle us with how remarkable she is, because those parts are starting to come out. And so it's not so much complaining about it, just going, but I want to be on that right side of history and be one of those people who's helping that process along, because there are a lot of people who are.
Do you think, like, with new technology and, like, for example, video on demand and some of these other outlets, do you think that's, you know, can really create an environment where this would be much?
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I executive produced a webisodic a couple years ago called Gemini Division. We did 50 webisodes. And, you know, it was before people were able to figure out how to make money on webisodic. So it was a small, awesome thing, but a small thing. But it was really cutting. It was one of the first of its kind. And I remember doing a lot of press and talking about it. And people were like, this is interesting. Do you think this is a space? And I was like, absolutely. And now we're really starting to see it grow and exponentially in a whole other way. And it's, you can only imagine, like, when people were, you know, making made-for-TV films and thinking, like, that was never going to fly because they had to have a big movie stars and they had to have a big opening. But then people were really into their televisions, and it's about technology taking us to new places. And so I'm extremely excited about that and the different types of spaces that are being created where content is needed. And that's really where it ends up happening, is when there's a demand, the supply always comes to meet it. And so if you build it, they will come. And now the spaces are being built, and there's a lot of us who are going, we will come, you know, and that's, it's very exciting actually to see that happening. Even someone, even Robert Rodriguez is starting his own channel, you know, and that's something for him. He's baffled by the fact of going, why aren't there more of me? Like where, what, you know, I just figured with all the success and things that I've done that there's a ton of Robert Rodriguez's out there who are just like me, who want to come out and do their thing. And it's going, they need a space to do it, you know? Yeah.
Is that something you're looking at?
I mean, when I start going into maybe financing, maybe. I mean, I'm a huge Amanda Palmer fan. I love her TED Talk. I love what she's saying about going, even Veronica, you know, even Kristen Bell can go, you know, I want to make this project happen, and I'm going to leave it to the fans, and either you support it and make it happen. You're going to buy, I'm going to hope that you buy a ticket to see it anyway. So if you get it in advance, then we can have a product that we can all get something out of, you know, it's a mutual exchange. And I think it's a really interesting thing. Like that's where we are right now, historically, where there's a lot of naysayers who are going, how dare someone who's in that sort of level be asking to have that kind of connection with their fans. And that's because they're changing the system. They're not going through middlemen anymore. And that's where we are right now. And it's going to make a lot of people unhappy and upset. And it's going to make a lot of other people have an opportunity that they wouldn't have otherwise had. And that's where net neutrality becomes a huge conversation and is incredibly necessary because it gives people access. So there's just so much that's happening right now. And I find it actually incredibly fascinating. I'm really inspired by it. And I'm not averse to asking and going, hey, let's do this together, because that's how it really started for me. And so I don't see why it should necessarily change. It should stay with the
four
fans.
4 hours and 25 minutes, $2 million for Veronica Mars. And then on day two, they were up to $3.25 million.
Nice.
4 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Which is really huge, yeah. You know? And like that was the thing with Amanda Palmer getting 1.2 or something like that. And from 25,000 fans, roughly. And this is the thing of people going $5,
$10,
$1.
$10 million.
It's amazing.
Don't you think the people who contribute should be like prepaying for their ticket and get to see the movie for free?
Well, whatever it is, that there, if there's exchange and it says, if you back me for this and this is what you get for it, and people are okay with that, it's not about what I think if they should. If you were willing to part with your $5 for a photo or a hug or a kiss or a beer or whatever it is on, you know, is the sweet thing that's being, you know, that's the carrot, then sweet. Like, I think that's the interesting part, you know, and kind of recognizing and being more trusting and being more open and recognizing that there are people out there who are really supportive. And so the idea that other people aren't getting help, like the Steve Jobs of the world weren't getting money from the bank or other people lending and asking for help, or, you know, that only studios can now go to Comic-Con and get and exploit people's desire to have all the new goodies and make them pay top dollar for it, and still a trickle of that go back to the artist that it actually represents. Like, why do that and feel like that's your only way of making it? So if you really think about, like, people going, well, this is terrible, people are either poaching music online or the music industry is hurting right now because they're not able to make enough money to pay the artist. Well, it's like, well, for years, if you signed with a label, you pretty much didn't see any money off of any of your album sales. And the only money you made was when you were on the road. So who was stealing then? Like, I'm not really sure. Did we not just see the Rodriguez documentary where he was not getting any of his money, but he was a huge star in South Africa? So it's like, it's going, if he was in an age or an era where someone could have texted him or tweeted him or in some way connected to him, he would have learned a long time ago that he had an audience that he thought he didn't have. And that's where I think is an interesting thing now of going, something's broken and it's shifting. And it's not even shifting because the artists had so much control that they were able to do it first. It wasn't them. It was the consumers who started changing it. And now everyone's having to go around it.
So I just wondered, did you do any research on
Yes, but I also have, but that's because I'm on the board of V-Day and have been for many years. My mom worked with a domestic violence organization in San Francisco called Women's Inc. when I was 10 years old. So it's been something that's been a big part of my life for many, many years. I've been a spokesperson for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we were just participating in Billion Rising, which was amazing on Valentine's Day. And so that's, I think, another thing that's really kind of crescendoing to a point where the demand is really there to start seeing different types of entertainment and different types of positions for women and just different types of stories. Not to say they're not going to play women who are bad, women who are abused, women who are any of these different things, because those are real stories about real people. But we shouldn't only have to feel like we can only watch prostitutes.
That said, Republican John Portman came out yesterday and said because his son is gay now, he will reverse his position on gay marriage,
which is awesome.
Well, I'm thinking, is it just because it's your kid now it affects you personally, or is it about small steps?
It's about both, you know. I mean, some people don't care about any issues. They don't vote. They don't want to do anything. And then, you know, they get cancer, or someone close to them has some really bad thing that happens to them that makes them consider something that they hadn't considered before. Now they've started an organization, their whole life changes. So it's like, it's very difficult for some people to go over a prejudice, especially when it's learned behavior from their parents or whatever. It feels very intimate. It feels very personal. It feels factual. But then your child comes out and says, I'm gay and I'm no different than I was yesterday. And if you said you loved me before, you should still love me now. And what he's doing right now is a remarkable thing, because not every parent does it. Most of the kids who are on the streets right now is because they came out to their parents and their parents told them to leave. And that's really crazy. The idea of, like, I loved you yesterday, but I don't love you today is just outrageous. And films like Pariah, I think, show it really well, because I honestly could never understand it. I couldn't. I'm a New Yorker, maybe. Maybe I'm just very open in that sense, but I just could not understand it. And that film showed it, I think, very clearly how difficult it is for some people to come. It's like the computer glitch. It doesn't compute. Like, I don't know how to feel about this, because this is bad, but I love you, and some people can't handle it. So I think it's something to honor when someone does step forward and go, you know what, I'm willing to say I was wrong before, and let's make it better, because we need to recognize that that's a good thing. Because unfortunately, what we do in our media all the time is going, well, you're a flip-flopper, because yesterday you said you thought this and that. And it was like, well, I'm an adult now, and I said that statement 20 years ago when I was in high school, and I think I have a chance to grow. And actually, we should be honoring and saying that's a good thing, that I've evolved and learned something, as opposed to just being like, I have to be rigid. We're not robots.
Thanks, everyone.
Sorry. I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
Stay on your soapbox.
Thank you very much, guys.